Good morning. I'm sorry I can't be with you in person today, but would you believe after managing to avoid COVID for the entire time we were in Kenya, a country on the UK red list, no less, my youngest daughter managed to get infected just a couple of weeks after being released from mandatory hotel quarantine. So here we are, back in isolation again. I'm glad to say that she's doing well, although she has lost her sense of smell. And so far, the rest of the family have continued to test negative. Anyway, it's great to be back with you this morning, even if it is only virtually. Some of you might remember us coming to visit the church a few years back to share about our time serving with Mission Aviation Fellowship. Thank you for your prayers and other support since that time. We've really appreciated it, and it's got us through some really challenging times. Samaz has already updated you on what the family are doing, but I thought I'd just give you a quick update on how God has led me to work with Arosha, and as I hope you will find that both encouraging to hear how brilliantly God weaves our lives together. So, the first time we took a break from work in Kenya, we headed to the wonderful Indian Ocean, to the coast. And we went and explored a place called Meader Creek, where there's some amazing mangroves. And on a wonderful boardwalk. Basically, let me paint you a picture. You arrive and you get a little introduction about the place and what Arosha are doing there and how they are working with the local community to carry out conservation work, using the profits from the boardwalk to sponsor local children's education and to teach them about the need to maintain the biodiversity of the area. You then get taken out on a boardwalk where you look down at all these crabs that are running around below you. The boardwalk takes you out to a bird hide where you can watch the birds, and then you get down into some canoes as seen in the picture. They paddle you out against amongst these mangroves. It was really an amazing experience and got me very excited about what Arosha was doing. The next time I came across Arosha really was when I was doing a keynote speaker up in the up country in Kenya at a boarding school, a Christian boarding school. They'd asked me to talk about trying to encourage children to think widely about their vocational choices, considering even mission as an option. And after that talk, I met a number of the senior staff there at the school, and one of the wife of one of the deputy heads was in fact the daughter of the founders of Arosha, and she was telling us how telling us about her childhood, about how she'd gone out to Portugal with her parents who were missionaries out there, trying to restore some landscape. In the vital migration path, bird migration path, to bring it back to full storage. She said how pioneering it was back then, and how people would say, "See, a missionaries? What are you trying to do? Convert the birds?" The next thing that happened was that Maz went onto the board of that school. She's a teacher, and they wanted her on the board to help bring the school up to strength on safeguarding issues. And on that board was also a former pupil and actually the founder of Arosha Kenya. And so we got to, over the years, we've got to see him a few times, and he's taught us quite a lot about the work that Arosha are doing in Kenya, and we've been able to go and visit Arosha's sites down there again. We then get to a point where we came to the conclusion that it was the right time for us to head back to the UK. And not long after we made that decision, a recruitment agency contacted me. They contacted me many times whilst I'd been in Kenya, put opportunities my way, and many of them very good opportunities, but none of them were ever at the right time. They were at a time when I felt I needed to stay in Kenya with MAF. But this was the right time. And it was Arosha, a mission that God had very much put on my heart during my time in Kenya. And thankfully, I managed to get the job And so I'm very pleased to have started at the beginning of July with a Russia International. I think it also shows what a great sense of humour God has. He calls me out of an aviation mission to work for an environmental one. I guess you could call this my carbon offsetting. So it's a real delight and honour to be asked to speak to you this morning about love for creation. I'm no expert, but like many people, I'm trying to come to terms with the harm that has been done to the environment and what our response should be. But it's not just about creation care I want to speak to you about this morning. Rather, I want to share with you just three biblical reasons why Christians should have a love for creation. My first reason why Christians should have a love for creation is this: God made it and he cares for it. As Christians, we say we love God, and throughout the Bible, God's concern, commitment, enjoyment, and pride in creation shines through. We are told in Genesis 1, at the very start of the Bible, that the world is God's creation, and how in verse 31, at the end of the sixth day, God looked at everything he'd made, and he was very pleased. Now, one of the joys of living in Kenya was the opportunity to enjoy God's creation, be it in the landscape and wildlife of the wide open plains, the lakes of the Rift Valley, the glorious Indian Ocean coast, or indeed the rugged beauty and unique flora of Mount Kenya. We feel very blessed to have experienced all that, but I'm sure we can all remember at some point in our lives, maybe playing as a child or whilst on holiday somewhere, when we have taken real joy in experiencing God's creation. Maybe for you it was during COVID lockdown, when maybe you became conscious of the beautiful bird song in your garden. So let me encourage you to wonder and take delight in nature. Go for a walk, put a bird feeder in your garden. Just enjoy God's creation. We awaken the childlike wonder in you. The second reason why Christians should have a love and care for creation is justice. It is by and large the power and powerlessness world who suffer the effects of deforestation, pollution, desertification, climate change, or the unsustainable extraction of raw materials. The Bible shows God to be passionate about justice, and God's people are encouraged to challenge oppression. Some of us, myself included, have been fortunate enough to have been largely shielded from the consequences of climate change and biodiversity loss. When a local harvest fails, we have access to food from elsewhere. In extreme heat, we have air conditioning, fans or cold drinks. If pollution damages our lungs, there's treatment available. The reality, though, is that throughout the world, many people are having to deal with the consequences of crop failure or flooding due to climate change that threatens their lives. We saw evidence of that whilst living in Kenya. Because many of these events are the consequence of climate change or the damage to biodiversity that we have caused through our lifestyle options, it's not fair. It's not right. This is an issue of justice. My third reason is hope. Arosh has been working in nature conservation around the world for almost 40 years. In that time, we've lost nearly 70% of the world's wildlife populations. We've put a dangerous amount of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and we've managed to get plastic waste into every nook and cranny of our planet. There is a new threat to mental health, eco-anxiety. Whether you work in environment or just read the news, the impact of that is now a full-blown crisis, and it takes its toll on us. And yet, those of us who work for Arosha remain stubbornly hopeful. Day after day, in the 20-plus countries where we work with communities to plant indigenous saplings, monitor moth populations, clean up beaches, teach others how to farm God's way, i.e. sustainably, campaign for policies that are good for both people and planet, go into schools and teach environmental education. Small acts of defiant hope in our long-term future. We can look at all the bad news in the eye, but keep writing our stories in the landscape and say with confidence, it's not over. God still has plans for the world he loves. As Christians, we can remain hopeful because we love and because we have hope in a God who declares his creation good and who loved the world so much that he sent his son for its redemption. Dave Buchless, a Russia's director of theology and churches, writes this: Jesus is described not just as a saviour of the fallen world, but as one for whom all creation was made, and as one through whom all creation will one day be liberated from its bondage to decay. We do not know how this will be accomplished, but we are given the motivation and hope. The Almighty God, who created and sustained his world, wants all people to be actively involved in his great plan to redeem the whole of creation. So what next? What can you do? Well, maybe our first response should be repentance. Speaking for myself, I know this is an area of great failure, willful disobedience and denial. As with any kind of sin, we can come to our Father in full expectation of forgiveness and grace. And as Paul reminds us, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding for us through wordless groans. True repentance results in change. So let's also give some honest thought as to what God might be calling us to do differently. We need to consider ways in which we can reduce the impact on the climate, aim to become carbon neutral by using green energy or reducing waste, increasing biodiversity by rewilding our gardens. Why not join over 3,000 churches in England and Wales by signing up to an initiative of a Russia called Eco Church? I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this beautiful, complex, intricate and awe-inspiring creation of yours. It tells us so much about who you are, your might and power, your care and concern, your exuberant creativity and joy. We are sorry, Lord, for behaving as though this world is our own personal resource to sap in pursuit of wealth and comfort. We are sorry for worshipping you with our mouths and not with our lives. Forgive us and lead us into a new way of living that honours you and enables the whole world to flourish. Amen. Thank you.